Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I'm joined by Melissa.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We hope you're having a great start to your Wednesday out there. Thanks for kicking it off with us. A little later, we're going to get into modern trends people will regret in 10 years. Okay. That could be interesting. And four things we're not splurging on as much as we used to. A couple of interesting ones for you lined up. But first, we kick off the 9 o'clock hour with some entertainment news. And Robert De Niro isn't playing a mob boss in his upcoming movie. Been there, done that. Instead, he's playing two mob bosses.
Why play just one when you can do two?
Yeah, and you're one of the greatest actors of all time. You can do this. Mm-hmm. In Alto Nights, he'll play real-life gangsters Vito Genovese and Frank Costello, who start off as allies, then end up in a deadly battle of control over New York City. It's based loosely on real events. And this might sweeten the pot. It was written by Nicholas Pileggeri, who also wrote two of Robert De Niro's other movies, Goodfellas and Casino, which are both incredible movies. If you like that kind of movie.
Right.
The Alto Knights hit theaters March 21st. It's great to see De Niro like working. Like, this is Robert De Niro. If you see the trailers, you see this is old school De Niro. It's him acting. It's not just him playing a caricature of himself or anything like that. and I'll admit, I'm going to see it. I've seen everything he's done, and I'm a sucker for these movies. Mm-hmm. The thing that I can't get past, though, and I can't help myself, is the idea that it feels like the only time we see Italians on screen is doing these roles, is playing mobsters. And it seems like the only time people care anything about Italian culture is this. And the only thing anybody knows about Italian culture is this and spaghetti.
Like, and wine. Don't forget the wine.
You know, we helped build this country, everybody. You know that, right? Like, you realize at one point Italians were on the lowest end of the rung here. And they did the jobs nobody else wanted to do when they were immigrants coming to this country. Mm-hmm. Like, we got a lot more to offer than that. I mean, come on. There's marinara sauce, too. I'm kidding, but there's a lot more. I would love to see a movie starring an Italian person that has nothing to do with the mob. It'd be nice, just once. I'll star in that one, and it won't be seen by anybody. We move on. Rod Stewart. This is a couple of weird stories here to go to before we get to our local good story and entertainment story. Mm-hmm. Here's some crazy celebrity trivia. The summer after David Schwimmer finished his freshman year in college, he went on to work as a process server for his mother, who was a divorce lawyer.
Okay.
His job was, quote, to pop out of the bushes and serve people divorce papers.
Pop out of the bushes. That job description.
One of those people happened to be Rod Stewart.
Really?
This had been around 1984, so Rod was in the middle of a divorce with Alana Stewart, whom he married in 79. David Schwimmer said, quote, "Thank goodness I've never run into him since." I don't even know if he knows. I don't think he knows. I wouldn't think he'd remember. But David told his story on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, so there's a good chance he knows now.
He knows now, yeah.
That has got to be a weird one. That has got to be weird. Of all the jobs that I've done in my life, and I've done some crummy jobs, I've never had to do anything like that, and I don't know.
Serving divorce papers.
I couldn't imagine, man. That's a rough one. That seems like a weird gig. And then there's this one. Actors always say it's an honor just to be nominated for awards, but, you know, a lot of them, I would say half of them don't mean it. You know, it's just what you say. I don't even know how I would feel in that situation. I know that's what I would say, though. Well, back in 2003, Catherine Zeta-Jones won Best Supporting Actress Oscar for Chicago. And Kathy Bates and Meryl Streep were also up for awards for that year. Running against her in that category.
Wow.
And after both of them lost and the show went into commercial break, Meryl grabbed Kathy and dragged her to the bar. Kathy Bates was telling this story, and she says, quote, "It was a very Joan Crawford, Betty Davis moment. She slammed her evening bag down on the bar and said, 'I'm having a vodka, straight, neat.'" And I slammed my evening bag down and I said, I'm having what she's having. And we tossed it and it was a moment. Kathy added, quote, we turned and toasted each other and I could see in her eyes, I'm sure she could see it in mine, how we wanted it so badly. We thought we were so close.
Yeah. And you can't blame them for that.
No. And both of them have thankfully been awarded and both have been celebrated both by their peers in the Academy and the Screen Actors Guild. But that don't make it any less. I mean, I can see that. It's interesting, too, because their careers are very established at this time. When this happens, so it just speaks to the competitiveness of this, but also I think you could, the part that I'm focusing on is the two women finding each other and celebrating each other in the same sense of also drowning in their sorrows.
Right. I mean, they were up for an award, they didn't win. It's okay. It's in my opinion perfectly acceptable for them to feel a little let down.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not in these things because you don't want to win.
And I'm trying to think of the movies that they were nominated for. This is back in 2003. So the 2003 Oscars is what I'm trying to find right now. Because I'm curious. I'm curious of what
movie. Well, and Catherine Zeta-Jones is quite a bit younger than these two ladies as well.
Yeah. And at the time, and while she is a very respected and a very good actress, I don't know that anybody would put her in the category of Meryl Streep or Kathy Bates. And I think that has to be brought up in it. But it also, again, doesn't mean that she's a bad actress by any means. She earned that Oscar, especially her performance in Chicago.
Yes.
Arguably her best performance. That was the year that Chicago swept the awards, and Adrian Brody became the youngest person to ever win Best Oscar at 29. One of my favorite Oscar moments, his speech. It's a great speech. I don't know about the moment before that, but Steve Martin was the host. And let's see here. Chicago won Best Picture over Gangs of New York and The Hours and Lord of the Rings.
Wow.
Best Supporting Actress. So Kathy Bates was nominated for About Schmidt, Queen Latifah for Chicago, Meryl Streep for Adaptation. Her performance in Adaptation, man, I'm surprised she didn't win. That was a heck of a performance. It's hard. As good as Kathy Bates was in About Schmidt and Queen Latifah was, and Julianna Moore in The Hours, another forgotten actress, Meryl Streep not winning for Adaptation is a bit of an upset. But, that's the
opening. Adaptation was such a weird movie.
Oh, yeah. Very weird.
Movie.
I could see how it didn't win in many ways, especially that year with how popular the movie Chicago was.
Yeah.
We have a great show that leads into ours in Up North with Pat Kreitlow and Up North News. You catch it probably every morning. And on that show, you probably hear Melissa Kay from time to time. We always
appreciate on Wednesdays.
Wednesdays. Yeah. And one of the great things that they do with that show is also a great newsletter that they have, Up North News. Encourage people to sign up for that, just like you would sign up for, the WFHR newsletter. You can go to upnorthnewswi.com to find out more, upnorthnewswi.com. And again, encourage you to sign up for the newsletter, and you get great articles like this one, 7 Books by Wisconsin Authors We're Loving This Winter.
Nice.
I thought this was a great article. And one of the things I enjoy about this article, Melissa, is that they have it broken down into like a picture book or a middle grade or young adult.
Okay.
And there's some great books on there, like Middle Graders, Marvelous Jackson by Laura Ann Bird is the one they suggest. For young adults, Mighty Millie Novak by Elizabeth Holden. I know it says young adults, but I want to read it just from the title. Mighty Millie Novak. That sounds like a book.
There is so many YA books, though, James, that are awesome for general audience. Like,
I can see that.
They're really good. I read a lot of YA, actually.
There's been a handful of TV shows that I think have been pretty good that are in that round, in that realm. If you're looking for a memoir, Year of Plenty, A Family's Season of Grief by B.J. Hollers. B.J. is an English professor at University of Wisconsin. And all of these are, you know, Wisconsin authors, which I think is very noteworthy
as
well.
That is awesome. That's awesome that they're highlighting Wisconsin authors, because there's more than we think of or know about, really.
Yeah, there are so many. And to all authors out there, reach out to us. We would love to have you on Director's Playhouse. We would love to have you on our morning show. Any of the above, we'll get you on the air. We want to promote you.
Absolutely.
Short stories, Close Call by Kim Sewer. That is out there. Check that one out if you're looking for shorts. I like short stories. I like those.
And I'm not, I don't usually.
You and my mom. You, my mother makes fun of me so much about loving short stories, but I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I like them. If you're looking for some good nonfiction, Where the Grass Still Sings by Heather Swan. Heather is a poet out of UW, out of Madison. She went to the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And a really gifted author. Really has a way with words. And I know that's an old phrase, but I don't know how else to put her writing.
How else you would say it?
Yeah, she's really good. I encourage you to check out Heather Swan, everybody. A great author. Great local author. We also got here for fiction, Muddled Cherries by Sally Collins.
Interesting.
This is a riveting debut that she put together. It really is a strong read. And it takes place in Door County.
Oh, cool. How perfect is that?
There's just such good writing, such good work, such good creativity done in this state, and there's so many great authors out there. You know, read what you read, certainly, but while you're picking out those books, I would take the time and look into Wisconsin authors. We talk a lot about buying local, supporting local with our local businesses and nonprofits, and when we have, you know, Allison Dairyland on, or some of our other ag industry individuals, we talk a lot about looking for that red label. And buying Wisconsin-made products, supporting our ag industry, whether it's that way or maybe our winters or summer markets that we have. Those are all important, and we encourage you to do all of those things. Along with that, if I can just add on to that, supporting local artists.
Yeah, it matters. It makes a difference.
Let me just double-check this, Melissa, because, in 2024, Wisconsin finished dead last in the union when it came to funding the arts. You Wisconsinites out there, I imagine that you're not proud of that. Let's change that. Let's change that. Let's expect more from our people that we vote into office. And let's expect more of ourselves when we're purchasing entertainment, when we're looking for entertainment.
And where you're choosing to spend your dollars, because it matters.
Yeah, yeah. Support these artists like they were your own, because they kind of are. I mean, they are.
And another place that really supports our local artists, too, are our libraries.
Oh, you got to. Yeah, you saw right where I was going.
Because you can head into any of our local libraries, but especially here at McMillan, and walk up to the circulation desk and say, "I'm looking specifically for Wisconsin authors," and they'll know where they are. They'll know where to direct you to. They often highlight our local authors and promote their work, because it matters.
Yeah, it really does. They've got a great area over there for you about it. You can go ahead and ask them about it if you need more information. And when it comes to supporting the arts, they do it better than most. They prove that all the time with the Cowboy Union Jam and some of the other bands that they bring in, and having performances like
Seven Brides for Seven Brothers is this Friday. I'm so excited about this.
Be sure to check it out, everybody. You'll have a chance to check out a 2 o'clock matinee as well as a 6 o'clock show. They'll take
two
place
opportunities
at their all-purpose room. Head on over to McMillan.
Is it that, or is it the Fine Arts, or their Fine Arts Center in there?
It is the Fine Arts Center. Check that out at the Fine Arts
on
Center.
On the stage.
And a great show, by the way. It's a great play.
You know, I saw Seven Brides for Seven Brothers done in a teeny tiny little theater when I think I was 16 or thereabouts. My family took a trip out to the to the West Coast, and we stopped in this tiny little town. I don't even remember what state it was in. It was maybe like in Idaho or somewhere up there in the mountains. And we saw a production of Seven Brides for Seven Brothers done on a tiny stage in a tiny theater. It was fantastic. So good.
You know, that seems like a show that would be good for that, a smaller stage.
It's a big cast. I mean, there's seven females and seven males. Seven brides and seven brothers. That's 14 people. So
we will take a time out. We'll be back with more show, morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. One of the best bass lines you'll ever hear. Oh, can't get enough of this song. Something about Marvin Gaye, man. I bet you wondered how I knew of your plans to make it blue. It's this part right here. Some other guy you knew. Oh, the way he sings, guy. Oh, man. Welcome back, everybody. Hope you're having a good Wednesday out there. Melissa and James here with you, diving into a survey by a grocery chain Aldi. They looked at four things we're spending more money on than we used to, largely because, of course, that's the way the economy works.
Mm-hmm. Prices have increased.
Yes, yes. Go back to the 1900s, to the 1920s, to the 1930s, 40s, 50s, go on, go on, go on. Prices go up. That is the way that economies work. As a side note, this is supposed to economically be a good thing, because it's supposed to mean a rising tide raises all boats. People are making more money, so therefore products go up. But of course, the top 1% are not allowing that. So that is why you hear a lot of politicians barking about inflation and blah, 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 and a lot of people falling for it. Mm-hmm. By the way, with this new administration, you know, building and getting into place more and more here, has anybody heard anything about that? Anybody? When's the last time we heard anybody talk about the price of eggs? Huh? Anybody? Anybody?
Or just the response of, you know, when once prices go up, they're kind of hard to get to come back down. Except that's the opposite of what you ran on.
And I'd like to see some accountability on this for every person that voted for this new administration. I wanted them to hold them accountable, not just go with the flow, not just take what's given to you. Don't be a lamb. Like, we are lions, people. Act like it.
And they demand work for better. Us.
Yes, and remember who they work for. Whether it is the current president or the next president, mm-hmm. We're their boss, not the other way around. You can go ahead and draw them up all the way you want to and everything. That is the way this system works.
And the thing to remember, too, is they are supposed to work for all people.
Yeah.
And they've all said that. Mm-hmm. They've all said that they will work for even the people who didn't vote for them.
It's a reason why when we were going through the, having politicians in and, interviewing them, one of my main questions was that. I asked everybody the same questions, and that question came up with every candidate, because I think that's important. It seems to be. Seems like it to me. I don't know. Seems like an important one. So when it comes to all of these things we're talking about the rising prices of things, what are people spending the most on? Gas was the number one, followed by three grocery store staples, meat, produce, and stuff for the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
We're spending more on all of that stuff than we were a few years ago. Things like bird flu also haven't helped with the price of meat and eggs.
No.
Natural disasters, the pandemic. There are a lot of reasons for this that any smart economist who doesn't have somebody in their pocket will tell you.
Right.
They also looked at how we're making up for it. Here are four non-essential things we're not splurging on as much. So while these other things are costing more, we are kind of cutting back.
Well, you gotta cut somewhere.
Yeah. One of the big ones is dining out. In fact, 51% of people, over half the people, have said that they're going out and eating less or spending less if they do.
Mm-hmm. And you know who that hurts? Our restaurants and the people who work in restaurants.
Yep. And we're not talking about, while it may hurt big chains a little bit, what it really hurts is your mom and pop places.
Yep. Our small town places.
Buying new clothes. 48% of people are not doing that as much.
I am okay with that personally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, if you need the clothes, obviously you need to buy the clothes, but maybe they're not buying new. Maybe they're choosing to go to a resale place and buy used clothes, mm-hmm. which is also good. Better for the environment.
Yeah, yeah. I think that one of the coolest things I've heard in the last, I don't know, 5-10 years is this trend that the younger generation has gotten on, where that is the fashion trend, by getting clothes from Goodwill and thrift stores and that's pretty cool.
And the more clothing we can keep out of landfills is great. Because they are, it's a serious problem. Not as serious as the amount of food that we waste in this country that ends up in landfills, but
yeah,
it's another one.
Electronics, 53% are spending less on that.
And that's probably going to continue to be the case as the price of electronics is going to skyrocket.
Phones are thousands of dollars.
Yeah, but pretty soon computers are going to go up. The price of game consoles are going to go up.
Yeah, people are going to and we're going to be seeing this in a lot of industries. A lot of industries are going to have to shrink. And that's, again, business 101. That's how the economy works. We had a tech bubble for a while there and that popped. You know, these are how things go. And beauty related stuff wraps up the list at 43%.
Okay.
With each one of these, they're not talking about people completely X-ing them out. They're doing them a lot less.
Right.
And they're finding other ways to do these things, as we mentioned with the clothes, the electronics. Hey, maybe you don't need the newest iPhone. Maybe the one that you have is working just fine. You know, those kind of things. People, there's a lot of like Mint Mobile and a lot of different mobile services now that are leaning into this and working with customers to be able to
bring their phone into into their network to be able to continue to use it versus having to buy a new one.
I'm with you on the clothes part. I from what I hear from people and I'm seeing in this article, we're not talking about underwear and socks. We're still buying new ones of those, and you should. But they're finding, hey, I want a new shirt, and they go to a thrift store. I will say, and I don't know what you would consider beauty related stuff. I don't know what that umbrella is necessarily.
It could be a lot of things.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to act like I know much about that or anything, but I will say that one hurts a little bit because I hate the idea of anybody not being able to get something that they like. We didn't have a lot of money growing up, but every once in a while, my mom would get a new eyeliner or something like that, and it made her day. Like, she loved that stuff. Like, I hate the idea of people not being able to do things like that. I don't necessarily think people need makeup, but if you like it, that's what matters, not what I think or so-and-so thinks. It matters what you think, and if that makes you feel a little more brave, a little more confident or something like that, I hate the idea of people not being able to do that.
Well, and then also the health aspect of it. For instance, mascara. I don't go through it fast enough to use it in the amount of time that you should. These things have an expiration date because if you like things that you put on your eyes, you shouldn't use them for more than I want to say it's like 3 months. So I don't get through a tube of mascara in 3 months, so I end up having to throw it away and buy a new one.
Oh.
But it has to do with, you know, keeping your eyes healthy.
Yeah.
So that's something to note too. And if you can't afford it, then I just don't wear it.
Boy, that is I figured that makeup had an expiration date, but I never thought about it before. And that seems shady, like the way they do that. That seems like a...
Well, it's not... If you think about it, James, you're putting something... Think about contact solution.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, like you open it, and if you don't use it within a certain amount of time, you really should throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's opened, you're potentially touching the top, you're introducing bacteria, and bacteria grows.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like leftover food. After a certain number of days, you have to throw it away because bacteria grows.
Yeah.
It's science.
Makes sense. Yeah. I just never really thought about it.
Yeah.
Which I guess makes sense too, considering I don't really wear a lot of makeup.
What? You don't have a tube of mascara sitting in your drawer that's been there for 5 years? Come on, James.
Being an actor, I had to learn to put on makeup for the stage. And I would say one of the hardest things, I've had to learn defense. I've had to learn just about every accent under the sun. I've had to learn to dance, work in heels, do dress and drag. One of the hardest things I've had to learn to do is putting on eyeliner. Like that.
Putting eyeliner on guys is a hard thing. Actually, that was one of the first things I did in theater. I did makeup for Escanaba and the Moonlight for the community theater in Toma, and I had to put eyeliner on guys. It's so funny.
Shout out.
I promise I'm not going to poke you in the eye. Just hold still.
I would like to send a shout out to every actress I've worked with since sixth grade. thank you. Thank you. And very thankful that the trend has become now less makeup. Everything. I actually haven't, I don't know the last time I had to put on makeup for a play or anything. So I've been very fortunate with that. So makeup don't work with me. Like me and makeup don't get along. We just don't. it's just the way we've both agreed to go our separate ways. We both agreed this is not working.
But for people who enjoy it and who like to use makeup, more power to you. Absolutely. You know what? You be you.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to take a time out. We'll check in with our news break, our sports. We'll get into some local stuff, taking care of our partners here. And when we come back, some modern trends people may regret in 10 years. Coming up on The Morning Show with Melissa and James right here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Early in the morning, rising to the street. Light me up that cigarette and strap shoes on my feet. Melissa and James here with you, and we're talking trends, everybody. Most trends don't age that well, but some are more harmful than others, like 15 years ago when people were doing that planking thing.
I don't even know what that is.
It feels like it was longer than 15 years ago, but before some of the TikTok trends and some of those things got going, there was a trend where people were taking pictures of them planking on things. They're just
stiff as right.
Yeah, like laying
the top
like a
of
board.
A push-up.
You know, like laying like a board on things and stuff. Yeah, I don't know. there are, to be fair though, there are trends that kick off too that also can raise funds for causes. And we had the
The ice challenge.
Yeah, my dad did that, and there's a lot of those kind of things too. So there are both sides of this.
Yeah.
People on social media are talking about the modern trends that everyone will regret in 10 years. May regret in 10 years.
Okay.
And people took it more seriously than just planking, like putting their whole lives on the internet.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you, there is not one relationship thing post that's ever made that I can imagine ever wanting to see. I cannot stress this enough. I care about every individual out there. I do not care about your relationship. That is your business. That is all your business. You go ahead and keep that to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of a positive of putting out your dirty laundry. I cannot think of a positive to it.
Yeah. But I do have to say, I like seeing people's anniversary pictures,
Oh, I think you treat social media like you treat it like it's a photo album. You don't put photos in there of bad memories.
Correct.
I mean, and also with that, taking in mind that that's the way social media works, that you're seeing people's happiest moments. You're not seeing their whole lives.
Yeah. Protect your mental health by keeping that in mind.
Yes. Yes. Because not for every smiling picture, there are people that are, they're going to have bad days too.
Right. They're humans just like the rest of us.
This is a big one to me. Filming kids' worst moments for the internet clout.
Ooh. Yeah, no, don't do that.
Read an article recently about a little girl who, 15 years ago or whatever it was, her mother took a picture of her and it went viral. And it was like a funny little picture of her like crying at her birthday or something like that. It pretty much ruined her childhood and her teen years.
Yeah.
This was all she was known for, and she, it really cost her.
Because that would have, think about how that would affect you.
Yeah.
If that was you.
Oh, dear God. I can't. I only imagine. And not only that, but I don't see the positive. So often in life, I ask people to look at the floor and the ceiling of something. What is it worth, really? What is the advantage to this? What is the bonus to this? What is the positive to this? And what is the floor? What is the worst that could happen with this?
Mm-hmm.
Think before you hit send.
Yep.
Bullying. bullying teachers out of the profession.
Oof. Yes, we are going to really, really, really hate that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. More and more, if we don't already, more and more. We don't we didn't have enough good teachers when our parents were kids, let alone now. And that's not about teachers. That's about the system and the way we treat them.
And what is being done to the system to make it worse, really? Yeah. I mean, that if you step back and you look at what has happened to the education system in this country, it's depressing.
Yeah.
We'll just put it that way.
Devaluing craftsmanship.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not having appreciation for people who do those things well. Mm. I mean, yes, can you also do woodworking? Sure. Can you do it to the level of somebody who has been honing that craft for the last 20 years? Not likely.
To the piggybacking off of that, getting advice from TikTok influencers and influencers instead of actual experts.
Actual experts, yes. Please stop doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
And with the new things that have been taken, you know, like fact-checking that has been taken out of Meta, with the disillusionment or the dissolving of certain...
yeah.
Whatever you want to call it. It's going to get worse, people.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot more misinformation, a lot of disinformation, and a lot of scammers taking advantage of people because they can.
And a lot more cowardly acts. It's funny to see the top 1% and see these people that have so much so-called power and money, and every one of them bending the knee and just like just a turtle on their back, just begging not to be hurt or anything like that. Just it's pathetic. It's sad, lame, among other things. Cosmetic surgeries and procedures, specifically buccal fat removal. I don't know what I'm saying there, but I guess that's a thing.
For people with more money than we have?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know a single person, and I'm talking about a lot of actors and actresses I've worked with, that have gotten Botox or any of those things, and didn't do it for migraines or something like that, that doesn't regret it.
Did it for looks.
Yeah, and every one of them regrets it. And I'm saying, like, almost immediately when they're going into a casting session and the casting director's like, okay, give me sad. Give me sad. Why can't you give me sad? Why can't
my
you?
Forehead doesn't move anymore.
You can't do that emotion. that doesn't help you as an actor a lot.
I just do it the old-fashioned way. I buy bigger clothes.
There you go, Melissa. There you go. There's a little tip for you, everybody.
Or I make them bigger myself using my sewing machine.
For me, on my personal list of this, I would put the what I said about kids at number one, and at number two, face tattoos.
Mm.
I've got about 7 or 8 tattoos on my body, and I like every one of them. I love every one of them, and I'm all for, you know, it's your body, do what you want with it. Mm-hmm. And if you want a face tattoo, it's your body, do what you want with it. But again, I don't know anybody, including a lot of celebrities, who don't regret these things and who aren't getting a lot of them are spending a lot of money getting them removed.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, tattoos are pretty permanent unless you have a lot of money.
And I'm sorry. I literally mean this. I am apologizing for this. I've never seen a good face tattoo. I've never seen one. Not one of them that look good. Not one of them that are done right. And why is it that it seems like so many face tattoos are done by a 10th grader? Like, they never seem to be really good ink. Like, say what you will if you like tattoos or not, but you could tell somebody who's an actual artist and somebody who just has a pen. Like,
pen and some ideas of grandeur.
How is it like Jelly Roll or Post Malone or some of these artists that have all this money and then you see their face tattoos and they're like, did a third grader do that?
Well, in their defense, they were probably done a number of years ago and at a point in time in their lives where maybe they didn't have as much money.
Completely understand that. Know what that's like. You got
and
money now.
Here we are a decade later, and maybe you're rethinking that decision.
Get them removed or get them redone by an actual artist, I would think. I don't know. You got your teeth redone. Now, every one of these people I'm talking about got their teeth redone. All of them got the white smile. So, I mean, I would think that. I don't know. Parents allowing their children to run the show comes up next.
Yeah, that is one you're going to regret in a few years when they hit those teenage years.
Yeah, yeah. It's not it's not easy being a parent or anything,
no.
But that's part of the gig. Is sometimes you got to be the bad guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And for I would just put out there for single parents, it's really really hard because I have all the sympathy in the world for you.
Unless you've done it, you have no idea.
Exactly.
You know, I have no idea what it's like. And it's not for us to judge.
Nope.
people letting go of their privacy.
Whew. Whew. Except that we kind of all done that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, just by being on the internet, by being on social media.
Mm-hmm. Sending their DNA to a random company.
Oh, yeah, that's come back to bite some people.
Yeah, yeah. Our reliance on AI, next generators to write letters, essays, or texts.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And that one also is just going to get worse.
The prolification of sports betting. Oh, my God, yeah. Boy, that one is just...
I have zero knowledge of that.
Basically, when we were kids, one of the biggest shuns you could have in sporting was betting on sports for athletes or any of these things.
Yeah, I thought it wasn't allowed.
Yeah, it's not. But we have, along with that now, though, we make it just completely accessible in almost every state to gamble and to bet on sports all you want. And they get away with it by, at the end of that, having Peyton Manning come out and say, hey, bet responsibly. Now go ahead and give us your money. Yes. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. The broccoli haircut. The broccoli haircut. I had to look this one up.
That you would regret it in 10 years? Yeah. Well, hair grows.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and as far as things to regret, hairstyles are one of the least.
I don't know. I think that's... I don't know that that should be on the list.
No, especially with some of these other things. I don't feel like it really hangs with the other stuff. Buying NFTs. And I will add on to that, buying cryptocurrency.
Yeah, that seems pretty risky. If you got the money to burn, by all means, do your thing, but...
There may be a use for crypto at some point. I don't believe that it is in anytime soon, and I think that we all should hope that there isn't. Like the amount of energy and the amount of waste that is created from just one of these businesses, let alone all of them out there, is killing our planet. And right. For what? For some make-believe money that we can't even decide whether it's worth something or not, that just trends up and down? Oh, wait, that's also the economy in general. Yeah. Okay. All right. But still.
Except for the fact of mentioning how much of a drain on resources that is.
Right.
And to what purpose? Like you said, to what purpose?
Yeah.
What good is it? Oh, I got all this money and blah, blah, blah. What do you have to show for it?
And the big deal of this is supposed to be, oh, it's money that only you know where it is and the government can't catch it or anything like that. Oh, wow. So you're just letting everybody know you don't care about other people. You don't care about paying taxes and helping others.
You don't want to contribute to society.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Thanks for that, rich guy. Yeah, that's great. I refuse. If I am the last person in the world that's a holdout on this, I will be. I will never promote or get into the whole cryptocurrency thing. Wait, I'm getting a message from my agent about an acting gig. Let me know. I'm kidding. We will go ahead and get to our commercial break. We'll come back and wrap up the show, morning show on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Hope you are having a great one out there. We're going to wrap up the show, take it to the top of the hour. We got your schedule coming up in a little bit, but I want to get to some good stories of the day. And I'm going to give you a bit of a tease of these and encourage you to look up the rest of the story yourselves.
All right.
A guy from Pennsylvania is going viral after proposing to his girlfriend on a plane and recreating a scene from The Wedding Singer.
Oh.
It's the one where Adam Sandler sings Grow Old With You to Drew Barrymore.
Aw.
I think it's one of the more romantic scenes you will ever see in a movie. I think it's awesome.
I do really like that movie.
I do. I love that movie. I'm not going to lie. I love that movie. A security guard at New York's Metropolitan Museum of Art is also now featuring featured artist there.
Hmm. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, 45-year-old Armia Mali Khalil graduated from art school in his 20s and moved to the U.S. in 06 with less than $400 in his pocket. He's been working as a security guard at the museum for a decade.
Mm.
A curator found out he was an artist and liked his stuff. Now, one of his sculptures is a part of the exhibit called Flight into Egypt that features art from 1876 to present day.
Wow. Oh, that's so cool.
Imagine what that means to him.
Yeah.
I cannot even put into words what that must mean for him. And I do believe that that is a beautiful story, you know.
It is.
The tragic wildfires in and around L.A. have also inspired a lot of kindness. Hopefully you will see some of these stories along with some of the coverage and you know, some of the other things going on with this. The great Jose Andreas, his World Central Kitchen has set up a bunch of meal distribution sites around the city to make sure first responders and people affected by the fires can get something to eat.
Yeah.
A bunch of firefighters walked into an In-N-Out to get burgers the other day, and the whole place gave them a huge round of applause. Mm-hmm. The video, I can't even talk about it, it gets me.
Yeah.
The Rose Bowl has been acting as a hub for donations and emergency response efforts. Vendors have been showing up to hand out free food and supplies. A seafood restaurant an hour outside of L.A. called Calico Fish House stepped up to be a national donation hub where people can send stuff. Volunteers have been showing up with truckloads of supplies.
Yeah.
And Mexico, our brothers and sisters down south. Mm-hmm. We are connected, everybody. Yeah. Mexico just sent 72 of their own firefighters to L.A. on Saturday to lend a hand.
Yep.
A good thing they didn't have to go through a wall to do it. You know.
Yeah.
By the way, how's that wall looking? How's that going? They're being deployed today to help fight the fires that are still burning. Firefighters from other states have also showed up to help, including Arizona, Nevada, Utah, New Mexico, Colorado, Oregon, Washington, and Texas. Mm-hmm. Even Ukraine is sending people to help.
Yeah.
Because this is how life works. We help each other. We scratch each other's back.
But there is the unfortunate reality of you want to make sure if you are making a donation that it's going to where it needs to go to help people, not into a scammer's pocket. So if you're looking to donate, head to our civicmedia.us. We have a link where you can make a donation and it will go to help those that are struggling in LA.
And I want to look at our local schedule for today. Of course, Matt and Air on Air coming up in just a moment or two. Be sure to check that out, everybody. Stick around with them until noon. And a little bit later today, we'll have Midday Magazine lined up for you. Join us from 4 to 5 today in part 1. Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher going to be with us along with Wisconsin Rapids Community Media.
Great.
Always a good conversation with Mr. Zacher and our friends at media. We love having them in.
Get an update on the city.
And in part two, Nikki Luck is going to join us from Wood County Health Department. We're going to talk about youth risk behavior, that survey that just went recently out.
Oh, good. Good.
Looking forward to diving into that with her.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a good one lined up for you after that. Playmakers, join us from 5 to 6 today. Nobody made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game and call us with your sports thoughts, feelings, takes. I want them all. I believe Michael Comer will be joining us today, so that'll be a lot of fun.
Great. Yeah. He's got the I should call in. I went to the middle school basketball tournaments last weekend that took place up in Mosinee.
Oh, I'd love that. I'd love you to call.
My niece was playing, and so I got to experience some middle school basketball.
Right on. Very cool. Good on you for going.
It was fun. It was good to see them.
Anytime you can attend events like that, everybody, it's so much about more. I mean, it's so much bigger than wins and losses. These kids see your faces out there. They appreciate that support.
Mm-hmm.
Michael and I will have playmakers for you today, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing and your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. We'll lead you into at 7 o'clock, the Wisconsin Hockey Hour.
Nice.
Of course, it is a Wednesday. We all know what that means.
Bingo.
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 Bingo. Bingo at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693. Support those that support this community, like our friends at the Elks Lodge at 430 West Jackson Street. Their doors open at 5. Bingo kicks off at 6:30. Going to be hopping over there.
Yeah. Head over, get a table early so you got your spot, because you know it's going to be fun.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters have their hot stove event coming up this Saturday. Be sure to get your tickets, RSVP, to attend.
Your tickets early because they're cheaper.
Yes, yes. This is going to be a great one. It's happening at the Hotel Mead from 6 to 9. They're going to have a bunch of the front office people there. New field manager Tom Zagalowski is going to be down there. Going to have from our championship team and currently with the Mets organization, Devin DeYoung is going to be down there as well.
Ooh, how cool.
RSVP for this event and check out season tickets. Tickets and get involved and support your Rafters, northwoodsleague.com.
Mm-hmm.
And our friends over at the VFW, they have their annual monthly meeting going on tomorrow at 6 o'clock. This happens on the third Thursday of every month. Keep that in mind. VFW Post 2534, monthly meeting tomorrow over at the VFW.
And if you've never been, head on down. They have a great time.
Yeah, yeah, they really do. Great, great note there, Melissa. And a great show. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been great to have you back this week.
Yeah, good to talk to you, James.
We will talk again next week. You have a good rest of your week, Melissa.
You as well.
And be good to each other out there. We'll talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.